Hi, I'm Nicola Cairncross and you're listening to the Money Gym podcast, where I interview successful entrepreneurs and investors and ask them if they could go back in time and give their younger selves one big tip about money, what would it be? I really hope you enjoy the show. Pete Jenkins is one of the top gamification consultants in the world. Based in Brighton in the UK, he first launched his business in August 2000 with the intention of providing enterprise-level software to small businesses cost-effectively. After doing that successfully for many years, he decided he wanted to help people enjoy their day-to-day work more, and his company culture is all about enjoying the work that you do. They do that by teaching people how to utilise a process known as gamification. They show you how to use game design concepts and techniques such as points, badges and leaderboards to motivate and engage your staff to achieve best results. Whether you're an Angry Bird addict or you enjoy a good game of snakes and ladders, gamification can make your work even more rewarding. Now Managing Director of Gamification Plus, Pete Jenkins has achieved the highest level of qualification in gamification, completing the Coursera course on gamification run by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, graduating with a cool 95.1%. Oh, and he's also served time as the treasurer and the chairman of the International Gamification Federation, known as GamFed. He also organises and hosts a Gamification Europe conference once a year. Let's see what Pete's got to say on the subject of money, shall we?
Let's talk money. Let's talk about your attitudes to money, you know, how your upbringing's affected that, how good you are at managing your money, et cetera, et cetera. How are you pricing? You know, and
good,
how are you,
good question, because I have an issue, which is, entrepreneurs are supposed to take risks, but my upbringing involved watching my dad run a business and go bankrupt and lose the house and both the yachts. And so my subconscious wants me to be really risk averse, which makes it very difficult to invest in new things. So the first few years of running a business, I had to just actually work at overcoming that, because if you're too risk averse, you're never going to adapt fast enough and take enough chances in running the business. So that's how I work. And the reason I'm risk averse is because of what I saw when I was growing up. Does that answer the question?
It does, but it doesn't answer all of them, because I do tend to ask them in batch.
So you've
had to overcome your aversion to risk. And how's that? I suppose with CRM and things, there's probably some sort of formula for what you charge for things. But now you're going into gamification and consultancy, you know, how are you pricing yourself there?
Oh, that's an interesting question. So with the CRM systems, it's quite a nice model, because you charge up front for customizing and training and setting up a CRM system, and then you've got recurring income for looking after it and hosting it, particularly with cloud hosting. So we're hosting, supporting and so on, and getting a monthly recurring income. That's great. But with gamification and switching to a consultancy model, I had no idea, actually, how to price it and how to charge. So, to be honest, I did what I always did in these situations, which is one of the things I recommend. I went and got advice. So I've got a business advisor who specializes really in helping consultants, and she's a consultant herself. So she's a good example of how it can work, and she works with a lot of other people. And she's really helped me price. I would have priced far too low right from the start, which is difficult to overcome. In fact, I got told by a client just the other day that I hadn't charged them enough, which I thought was great. Although I wish they'd said earlier.
So how are you going? So are you thinking constantly about this whole recurring income thing? Is it something that's on your mind about how you could, in fact, I've got a few ideas for you when I think about it, but is it something you're interested in developing?
Well, I've spent the best part of 13 years aiming for a recurring income. And as I saw with my broadband and telecoms company, it gives you something of value to sell. You know, so it's not just the income while you're doing it. You're building a business, something that can run without you. And I still like that idea. So to be honest, my long run aims with the gamification consultancy is that it won't just be built around me. It's got to be built around various niche expertises within gamification and other people. But finding ways to bring the recurring income in, well, that's quite interesting and tricky, which is why, of course, we've kept the gamified CRM part of the business.
Yeah.
So that's the bread and butter that pays the bills every month. And then the fun stuff is consulting. And teaching is great fun and keeps me, by teacher teaching, you have to stay up to date and stay abreast, which actually helps the rest of the business. It doesn't pay very well, I've noticed.
No, I can't imagine it does.
Not compared to selling software and doing consultancy work.
No.
But it is good fun, and it keeps me at the top of my game.
And I think there's definitely a prestige element to it as well, which again adds to the expert authority status, doesn't it?
I think it does, definitely. Mm. Although I'm not sure how many more titles I can handle.
So tell us about your personal money, Pete. I'm always intrigued because sometimes I come across business people who are really good with their personal money, and then I come across business people who don't take any notice of their personal money and just expect it to look after itself. Do you carry over your systems from your business into your personal finances?
Not really. I think for me, personal finances, actually, I was on the same heading as my dad many years ago when he went bankrupt. He was a kind of spend it before you've got it kind of person. And in my 20s, I was exactly the same. I was borrowing on credit, spending on anything, and I had a big crash, which was when I couldn't get any more credit.
Yeah.
I was shocked. But, you know, you reach a point where you've just got debts up to the eyeballs, and you go, ah! And to be honest, I was in the midst of paying or starting to pay that off when we founded the business. So we, to be honest, we struggled when we started running the business because my dad and I both had quite a lot of debt.
Yeah.
So we couldn't actually just put much into the business. Luckily, we had sold another company, another company we'd worked for had been sold, and we had some money from shares and that, which we were able to put in the business. But probably we should have just paid off more debts. But yeah. Hey, we wouldn't have been able to found the business.
So you really were up against it when you started
really,
that.
Really diverse. Yeah. Sorry?
You really were up against it when you started that business, weren't you?
Yes.
Which makes
we had to grow organically. In fact, if there's one difference between my business and many of the ones I come across, is that right from the start we had to be money-making because we didn't have any.
Yeah.
We had about 15 grand, I think. So it was enough for a few bills. But we had to buy quite a lot of equipment and software. And back then, reselling other people's software cost money up front as well. So there was a lot to do with that 15 grand.
Yeah.
And there wasn't much. They left no money for marketing. That's probably one of the reasons we had to go networking.
We didn't really have much choice about that. Isn't it? Yeah. Cool. So you've improved your own finances though now. I imagine, you know, that experience of getting up to the wire and then having to work out what to do next, that must have made you pay more attention.
Yeah, and to be honest, my wife had a similar experience. So we both now we spend once we've got money. Apart from, you know, sensible big purchases like mortgages and houses, everything else is save up and then spend.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a learning experience, that's for sure. And I think if people can come through it and learn from it, then it's a good experience. But it's challenging at the time, that's for sure. Good stuff.
Yeah, well, it gave me good insight when I was a financial advisor.
Yeah, I can imagine, yes. And it always astonishes me how some people have just swum through life, never run up any debt, always lived within their means and saved, you know, saved money. And it's just interesting, isn't it? I'm always fascinated about what people's backgrounds and childhood, what effect that has on the way they handle money. And yeah, I find it very fascinating. Good stuff. Thank you very much for answering so frankly. Go on.
Where I invest now is in industries that are being disrupted. So okay. I don't put money in a standard ISA account or savings account. I invest money online through peer lending and peer loan type companies like Zopa is my favourite one.
Which one, sorry?
So I invest money into peer lending type companies like Zopa. So anything that's disrupting. So that's disrupting the banking industry, which is great.
Cool. Yeah, I'm very drawn to that. I think I've invested in a film on Kickstarter so long ago, I can't remember what was happening with it. But I also love Kiva. You know, I love the Kiva organisation because it's helping entrepreneurs around the world who wouldn't get any help otherwise. And, you know, the majority of them, the loans get paid back. And then you get a really great feeling by being able to lend it again. And every time I feel a little bit worried about money, I go and bung another $100 in my Kiva account because I know that it's going to help five other entrepreneurs, and it just makes me feel really abundant and like I'm making a difference.
I know exactly what you mean, and I use Kiva as well.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It appeals to the entrepreneur in me to help other entrepreneurs.
You've been listening to Nicola Cairncross on the Money Gym podcast. If you'd like to find out more about the Money Gym and how we can help you become more financially intelligent, just come on over to themoneygym.com. We'll see you over there.